chapter 11. Do pray for Brother Steve as he has united with the church. Pray as he gets used to us, we get used to him. And I told the men when I was capping off our prayer items, we need to pray for Brother Steve practically. He's going to be putting a lot of miles on the car coming back and forth, and we want to pray for traveling mercies and the watch care of the Lord over him, especially as he travels in the evening hours. Last week, we began preaching a message we entitled Discerning the Body. Discerning the Body. Our text for this message is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 through 31. And since we read it last week and began the message and was preaching from it, for the sake of time, I'm going to omit the reading of the full text. I want us to read verse number 29, which is the verse that the message we're in the midst of preaching is based upon. Concerning the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Supper's observance at the church at Corinth and all the abnormalities and issues they had in observing it. He goes through this passage of Scripture concerning the Lord's Supper. It says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." That's not the verse I wanted. Yeah, that's it. "Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Not discerning the Lord's body. To discern, as we find it in this text, and as we consider it in our message, is to understand, to separate, to distinguish, to appreciate. Last week we thought of 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, where the phrase is rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a good definition of what discerning is. It's rightly dividing. It's understanding. It's separating the parts. Maybe I like it's appreciating more than all the other definitions that are found for the word that we're looking at. So it's understanding, it's separating, it's distinguishing, it's appreciating, it's rightly dividing the Word of God. And the Word of God that we're considering is the word body. There are three different uses of the word body, three different bodies spoken of in our text. The first body is the church body. The church body. Obviously, Paul is writing under inspiration to a New Testament Baptist church. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's not writing to a global, he's not writing to a universal, invisible, whatever. But he's writing to a local, visible assembly, which was meeting at Corinth. In verse number 22, he says, "What, have you not houses to eat in and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God?" So the first body that we're to discern and is found in this passage of Scripture is the church body. We need to rightly divide our understanding. We need to separate. We need to appreciate. We need to understand the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think all we preach and all I preach on is church matters. That's because that's the way the Lord directs. But it's also because of how important it is that we rightly discern the Lord's church, the local assembly. We've got to get this right, because everything hinges on what we believe concerning the Lord's church. The local assembly, the Lord's church, the body of Christ, is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground, the support, the foundation of truth. So it's important that we discern properly the Lord's church, the local assembly. The local church is called the body of Christ. When we talk about being a church member, we're talking about being a member, being a part of the body of Christ in a particular location. And we need to rightly discern that thought. We need to appreciate that thought. Church isn't a social club. Church doesn't exist to meet our social needs. The church is a spiritual body. The church is a called out assembly. The church is the body of Christ. Oh, how we need to discern that. What we do, when we do it, where we do it, how we conduct our lives, how we live day unto day needs to be lived with the understanding I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus Christ died for me, but He's doubly blessed me, He's doubly privileged me, and He's doubly responsible lead me. As soon as I started to say that, I knew it wasn't a word. But He's blessed me with double responsibility in that He's added me to a local body of Christ. How I live matters. How I conduct myself matters. And in this passage of Scripture, we see sinning against Christ spoken of. We mentioned it last week. Not discerning the body of Christ, not discerning the Lord's Supper elements, not discerning the church, not rightly dividing these things can certainly cause us issues and difficulties and problems. But the greatest issue and problem is not discerning in these things is sinning against Christ. There's all kinds of sins. There's all kinds of names given to sins. We can sin against God. We can sin against the Holy Spirit. And there's some way of sinning against the Holy Spirit that is called unpardonable, unforgivable. So I think if it's unforgivable and unpardonable, a child of God can't commit it. Because we're already pardoned. We're already forgiven. But when we think about sinning against Christ, who in their right mind spiritually would ever want to be guilty of sinning against Christ, our Savior, the one who loved us, who we've been looking in Sunday mornings, how He suffered for us, was rejected for us, was slain for us, was buried, was placed in the ground that He created, rose again for us. Oh, last thing I want to do is be guilty of sinning against my Savior. But not discerning the body of Christ is probably going to fall under that category of being a sin against Christ. Not only is the church the body of Christ, but Ephesians chapter 5 tells us the church is loved of Christ. And I don't know if you call it layering or that fancy word I just tried to spit out and wasn't a word. But we're so doubly blessed, we who sit here in this room tonight. We're saved. And He's placed us in His church, local assembly. We're saved. And He has given us double privilege, double responsibility. In saving us, We know He loved us. And I know the Lord loves me. But in placing me in a local New Testament assembly, He loves me in that capacity. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to understand that. But I want to understand it. I want to rightly discern that thought. That the church is the body of Christ. I want to always remember that this church, as we're gathered here in this place, is a call-out assembly that makes up the body of Christ in this area, in this place. I want to always remember that the Lord loves His church. Not only does He tell us that the church is the body of Christ, not only does He tell us that He loves His church, and husbands are told to love their wives the way Christ loved His church, but the church is going to be the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. It's almost like a third layer is added to the wonder of being a church member. We're saved. He's placed us in His kind of assembly, a New Testament church. He's placed us in the body of Christ, and He dwells within our body. He loves us, gave Himself for us, yet He loves us as we are a part of the Lord's church. And not only is the fact that He loved us and saved us, loved us and placed us in His church, but there's a special love that a man has for his bride. There's a special love that a man has for his wife. There's a special love that one has for those they're a spouse to. It's like a love they don't have for anybody else. And we're told that from the local visible assemblies of the Lord, He is going to draw His bride. Again, it's not a universal bride. We don't believe in the universal bride. Just as we believe in the local church, we believe in the local bride. The bride of Christ is going to come out of local New Testament assemblies, faithful assemblies, properly organized assemblies, amongst those that are found faithful at the coming of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be in the bride of Christ? Some would argue you can't know. But if you do all the things that God requires of us by the grace of God, and we're found faithful, it seems to me that He gave the promise, in light of that faithfulness, to some of those churches in Revelation, that they would be overcomers. They would be victorious. As Revelation chapter 19 puts it, we can be found faithful and we can be found worthy to walk in white, wear the wedding garments when the marriage of the Lamb takes place there in Revelation chapter 19. So we need to discern one whose own interest rise above the interest of a church. Don't discern those who think an individual and that individual interests are more important than the church, the body, does not properly discern. The one who thinks they can miss church and lay out a church and it have not any effect upon the church doesn't discern, doesn't understand the church and the importance of church. Anything, and I mean anything, anything that puts the church at risk, somebody's not discerning the importance of the church, the bride of Christ. We looked at the second body that is found in this text. That's the individual's body. If we don't discern our physical bodies when we come to the Lord's table, we can eat and drink damnation. That's a scary word. I think it means judgment. And I think it's speaking of temporal judgment. I think what it means is if we don't discern our bodies and we come to the Lord's table irreverently, disrespectfully, casually, lightly, and we don't really discern the body of Christ, I think it means we're sinning against Christ, and there will be an immediate consequence. Maybe not today, not the day that you're observing it, but I think the judgment that he's speaking of, since we can't face judgment in eternity, it's got to be speaking about temporal and immediate judgment. There's going to be a consequence if we don't discern our fleshly bodies. That's why verse number 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself. Rather you be in the faith. Make your calling and election sure. As we think about observing the Lord's Supper, whenever that might be, and the next time, let us discern our bodies. You come to the Lord's table and you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you're eating and drinking judgment to yourself. You come irreverently, disrespectfully to the Lord's table, you're sinning against Christ. Because this is his ordinance. It's a memorial supper to him. It wasn't given for us. It wasn't given for our benefit. This do we in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, that's the dispensing of rewards or the withholding of rewards according as our works shall be found. It's not judgment in the same way Christ was judged for our sins. Our sins were judged on Christ, on Calvary, once and for all. As I think about the observance of the Lord's Supper, I think about this message from last week and this week, and as I studied and considered these thoughts, I thought about Catholicism. And I think maybe some of her daughter churches, denominations, might have the same belief of transubstantiation. And they believe that when the communion or the mass or whatever they call it is taken, that you're literally eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They're serious about that. They're serious about that. They don't. Not only do they believe in transubstantiation, as we look at this text concerning the Lord's Supper, but they believe in a perpetual sacrifice. Do you ever notice they keep Jesus on the cross? And all their symbolism and the crucifixes. Where do you find Jesus? In a crucifix. And they believe that the sacrifice that Christ sacrificed upon the cross is perpetual. It continues. They continue to sacrifice Jesus Christ every time the Mass is observed. They continue. And there is no continuance to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was once and for all. Once and for all, he took our judgment. And the judgment seat of Christ is not the same kind of judgment that we're talking about when we talk about him being judged for our sins. We were judged once and for all, saved once and for all, secure once and for all. But we do find in the observance of the Lord's Supper the teaching that, and I've just lost it, having one of my moments. We do find that in the judgment seat of Christ that we receive reward or we lose reward for the labors and for the works that we're doing when he comes for us. Not to be judged, but we must all appear. Seems like it's important that we discern our bodies. And we mentioned and started off on the third point. It's found in that 29th verse. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This text contains the church body. This text contains the individual's physical body. But the main body that this supper deals with is the Lord's body. The literal body, the flesh and bones and the blood that Jesus Christ had when he was here. He gave himself a sacrifice. He shed his blood. He appeared before the Heavenly Father and presented his blood. But he appears in glory right now in a glorified fleshly body. He went to heaven in the body. Now it's in a glorified state, but he went to heaven in the body that he walked around in upon this earth. And he's coming again bodily. Revelation shows him glorified bodily, in a glorified body. At the Transfiguration, they saw him in a glorified body, but they saw him in a body. And we're told that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning, not understanding, not separating, not distinguishing, not appreciating, not rightly dividing what they need to about the body of Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord's Supper, it's important that we rightly divide, we rightly discern concerning the body of Christ. Some of those things are found in that doctrine of transubstantiation. That can't be biblical. That can't be scriptural. Christ's body is not constantly being sacrificed. The perpetual sacrifice, transubstantiation, and all those things that speak of the body of Christ cannot be scriptural, cannot be deemed as biblical. And I have just four thoughts concerning the Lord's body and discerning the Lord's body. Will be brief on each one of these, calling you to consider these things further, calling you to always rightly divide and to discern concerning the body of Christ. As the table is presented and prepared with the cups and the bread and the plates, and service is made ready for the observance of the Lord's table when we have it, as all of that is prepared, whenever that next time is, we need to rightly discern the body of Christ. Rightly discern the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And rightly discerning the body of Christ when we come to the observance of the Lord's Supper. Rightly discerning means knowing. Not that it turns into, that we're actually eating the body and blood of Christ, but rightly discerning the body of Christ when we come to the Lord's table means we understand and we appreciate that bread, that unleavened bread, represents the body of Christ. That cup of wine that we take represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't turn into, no, God hasn't called us to cannibalism. But it's important that we properly discern the body of Christ and understand that the Lord's Supper is unlike any other supper we observe. It's not to ever become commonplace. That's one of the main reasons why we don't observe the Lord's Supper weekly, or we don't observe the Lord's Supper monthly, or we don't observe the Lord's Supper on a set time schedule. Because it can't become mechanical to us. When we come to the Lord's table, it's got to impress upon us that unleavened bread, which has no real appealing taste to it, that unleavened bread represents my Lord's body. When we talk about the body of Christ, more than anything, we're talking about His suffering. His suffering was for me. His suffering was for you. His suffering was for all of His people. And so when we come to the Lord's table, He says in verse number 24, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said," He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is My body. This is My body." Verse number 25, "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. This is My body. This is My blood." This observance represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to bring to our remembrance that He sacrificed His body for us. He shed His blood to cleanse us from our sins. Then we see in the Matthew's gospel, let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Says a similar thing in verse 26 of Matthew 26. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is My body." But he's a little more descriptive than we found in our passage from 1 Corinthians 11. As He instituted the Lord's Supper in verse number 28, He says, "For this is My blood. This is My blood of the New Testament." So we discern the Lord's body when we remember that bread represents His body, that cup represents His blood. And our mind and our thoughts and our hearts need to be filled with all that is involved in the sacrifice of Christ and the shedding of Christ's blood for our sins. I am caused to pause just about every time we observe it when we come to that fruit of the vine. It's contained in one container. It comes as a unit. Then it's dispensed into the individual cups and given out to each one. And I see that container representing the body of Christ, containing the precious blood. And He had to spill that blood forth. He had to spill that forth from His body. He had to shed His precious blood. And as it goes from the unit, the larger container, into the individual cups, and then it is received individually, I'm always caused to pause and think, He did that for me. And He gave thanks. How thankful would you be if all your blood was going to be drawn off, knowing it meant your death, but it was going to be for someone else? How thankful would you be? Would you be offering up a prayer of thanks? Jesus did. He gave Himself bodily to be crucified, to go through all the pains of death. He allowed His body to be pierced and ripped open, that blood might be spilled forth. And it came out of that main container, which was his body, and it was applied to each one of God's people. And he was thankful to do it. He gave thanks to do it. I just can't get over. He shed his blood that I might live. He shed his blood to atone, make atonement. He shed his blood that I might be forgiven. And every once in a while the argument comes around, how important is the blood? And is there real power in the blood, or is it just the fact that he died that is important? I'm here to tell you it's all important. And I'm here to tell you the last thing you want to do in my presence is belittle the blood of Jesus Christ. It is crucial. If Jesus Christ had died and had not shed his blood, I don't believe I'd be saved. I don't believe I'd be forgiven. I believe he would have come up short. And we know that's not possible. So we discern the Lord's body by knowing it represents the body and blood of Christ in the elements. We discern the Lord's body by knowing he suffered and died. I'm not being repetitious here. I'm not forgetting that these things have come up in other messages, even yet this morning and last Sunday morning. But discerning the body of Christ means appreciating, understanding that those elements represent his body and blood, and that those elements represent to us, and when we properly discern them, represents to us that in the giving of his body he had to suffer. In the giving of his blood, he had to die. When we come to the Lord's table, or when we don't come to the Lord's table, when you consider the subject of the Lord's table, communion, the Lord's Supper, whatever term you're going to choose, remember that it was for you he died. Remember that those elements represent the body and blood of Christ. Remember that discerning the Lord's Supper means he suffered in the flesh. He spilled forth his blood for our redemption. Third of all, we discern the Lord's body by knowing the bread and the wine represent his body and blood. We discern by knowing he suffered and died. And third of all, we discern the Lord's body by knowing he suffered and died for us specifically. He didn't write a blank check. He knew who he was dying for. God has a chosen people, chosen to salvation from the foundation of the world. And when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and gave his body and shed his blood, he knew who he was giving that body for, and he knew who he was shedding that blood for. And as the song that comes to my mind is, when Christ was on the cross, I was on his mind. I believe that. I don't think that's unscriptural anyway or any stretch of the imagination. Because he said here, in verse number 24, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." For you. "Now you do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So we discern the body of Christ when we discern and we understand that not only did he suffer and die, but he suffered and he died for us. And here's the gospel part of this discernment. Here's where once again lost sinners are begged with and pleaded with, give us your undivided attention. Properly discerning, the Lord's body means we know not only that he suffered and died, we know not only that he suffered and died for us, but we know he suffered and died for all those that will believe. Did you catch the difference there? Jesus Christ suffered and died to save all of his people, irregardless of when the Spirit was going to come to them and save them. The Lord died somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple thousand years before he came to me in 1968. Made that body and blood real to me, that it was for me. And how many people have been saved since then? Properly discerning the Lord's Supper means I know he suffered and he died for me. But properly discerning the Lord's Supper is knowing he suffered and died for all those that will. I just got to believe. I've just got to have the understanding that we're still here. Life continues. Why aren't we in heaven yet? There must be some more people he's going to save. I've got to believe that. All that I study in the scriptures leads me to believe that Jesus Christ died for the people that God had given him, and when the last one is saved, for this time and this period, he's coming again. He's going to rapture us out of here. He hadn't raptured us yet. Did you notice that? I hope it's apparent. That means Jesus Christ suffered and died for somebody here that has yet to be saved. When we come to the Lord's Supper, if we don't discern his body properly, we eat and drink unworthily, and we eat and drink damnation to ourselves. Discerning the Lord's body means always remembering and being conscious of the bread and wine representing the body and blood of Christ. Means discerning and understanding that he suffered and he died for sinners, to save sinners, to save his people. The Lord's Supper is very personal. We come to the Lord's Supper to remember he died for me. I don't know if he died for you. You may tell me he did. The only one I know for sure that he died for in this room tonight is me. The Lord's Supper is very personal that way. We discern the Lord's body when we know he suffered and he died for us personally. And praise God, we properly discern the body of Christ when we observe the Lord's Supper. When we remember that he suffered and died for all those that will yet be saved. And we add with that discernment a prayer. Oh Lord, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why can't you call that one home to salvation tonight? That one that's been lost for so long, that's heard so often. Why couldn't it be tonight? We talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Our thoughts should be, even so, come Lord Jesus. We talk about properly discerning the body of Christ and understanding that he suffered and died for all those that are yet to be saved. We follow that with, why not tonight? Why not now? There's nothing preventing the salvation of the worst of all sinners. There's nothing that prevents the salvation of the best of sinners. You got a high opinion of yourself? I'm religious. I pray. You've never been saved. I'm sorry, you're no different from the worst of sinners. But if you think highly of yourself, then Jesus died for the best of you also. But you got to repent. You got to believe. John 3:16, we can probably start seeing it just disappear from Scripture. We read it so often. It tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave. We're looking at that kind of past tense now in time. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe, look into the future, whosoever will believe shall have everlasting life. So God help us to discern the local church, which is the body of Christ. God help us to discern our own bodies, confess our sins, examine ourselves. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the most important body of all in this text is the Lord's body, the literal body of Christ. He suffered, He shed His blood, and He died that we might live. Let's stand together.